Hey, a pleasure to bring in one of our good friends. He sort of coined the phrase talking baseball. Baseball is a talking sport. He's one of the play-by-play broadcasters for the A's. He's been a favorite of Gary Radnich many times on the show. I've done many, many, many hours of baseball with him. That is Vince Catronio. Vinny, how are you? Nice to have you with us.
Sounds like we're going to stroll down memory lane here, Marty. I'm ready to go. How are you?
I just did it for you, so that's it. You're done. You're you know, as you say, with Gary, you say put you on every 4 years, I think, for the World Cup. I think that was
pretty much Olympics or World Cup, and I know I can count on a call from Gary. So.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you being on, honestly, because, we only saw the Royals in three games, and they took the Giants apart in those three games. You've seen them all year long, and, of course, you got a close-up view of them in the first wild card game. So what are the Giants walking into here with the Royals?
I think they're walking into a confident team that cleared a hurdle, and I think the A's were, as we come to find out now, they were in the path of a team that I think finally got that exclamation point on an understanding of what kind of a club they are. A lot of teams, a lot of scouts around baseball had always been in the Royals' corner for their young talent that, for whatever reason, had not quite put it all together. And even this year, Mike Moustakas spent a lot of time in the minor leagues. So, Eric Hosmer was out for a while with an injury. You kind of wondered what Aoki could bring to that club, and he did bring a lot to that team. Salvador Perez, an outstanding defender and a plus offensive player as well. For me, probably the best catcher in the American League, but there was something that was missing, and I think what was missing was being in that circumstance, finally being on the biggest stage, and literally having their backs against the wall, five outs to go, down by four runs, against arguably one of the top five pitchers in the American League, and John Lester. At that point, going into that eighth inning, had retired 13 of the last 14 batters he had faced, and he did not give up the baseball. I mean, he's one that wanted the baseball and stayed in there. But to the Royals' credit, they had that remarkable comeback. Of course, the magical ending with the ground ball down the third baseline pass to Diving Donaldson by Perez, and they haven't turned back yet. I think what has happened is in the manner in which they won against the Athletics, catapulted them, and I even think that it carried more weight with what they did in the next two series, because had they beaten the A's 6-1 or just kind of a mundane, effective ball game, I don't think that would have given them the kind of confidence that they needed to go into those next two series against two very talented teams and the Angels and the Orioles. And I think in the manner in which they won, the way they did it at home, captured the imagination again of a starving fan base, just an entire generation has never seen this. I think that they have really kind of looked at themselves and said, you know what, I think we can do this. And they've continued to do that without outstanding starting pitching, good but not great. But we all know the lockdown bullpen is something that makes every manager sleep much easier at night. And they've definitely got that. They've had it all year. That's no surprise. And it's carried over.
Boy, Vince Catronio with us talking about the Royals. Vinny, of course, one of the play-by-play voices of the A's here in the Bay Area. Vinny, if you do a scouting report, and it's interesting, as I'm trying to do today, I like to do these things and the matchups and all that. As you were talking, I was thinking, well, the A's had Lester going against the Royals, and I'm looking at Hosmer, I'm looking at Moustakas, I'm looking at Gordon, I'm looking at Aoki. Now, Lester doesn't throw the first base, so the running game wasn't something the lefty helped at all. But if you're a manager looking at the Royals, I would assume you want to get as many lefties in there as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but Hosmer played every day. Moustakas, when he was with them, was playing every day. Aoki is an everyday player, so it's not like their left-handed batters, Marty, were matchup lefties. They were guys that were considered everyday players. That said, as we all have all witnessed this year, you say Madison Bumgarner's name in the same breath as Carl Hubbell, in the same breath as Christy Mathewson in the history of Giants postseasons, something special is going on. And for me, when I look at that series, I think game two is vitally important for the Royals because, I mean, Bumgarner's outstanding right now. He's like Hershiser in 88. I mean, I don't see a way, and of course they can, I just don't see a way that the Royals win game one at home, even with all the electricity and all the pomp and all the circumstance, because the Giants lefty has been that good. So they've got to find a way, whether it's going to be Yordani Ventura in game two, or if he's going to go with maybe Jason Vargas in game two, because of the lefties that are in the lineup for the Giants, that gives them a position to feel like that they can at least get out of there with a split. If they don't, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think, for the Royals. So a lot of times, Joe Torre, back in the heyday with the Yankees, had always talked about game three was a big swing game for him. I don't know, you've heard this before and you've even said it before, but for me, in this series, it's almost game two is the big swing game for the Royals, because I just think Bumgarner has been so outstanding in the postseason. It's going to be very difficult to stop in game one.
Wow, great. Well, baseball is a talking sport, and you do it very well. It was for the Cardinals as well, coming back with the Wong home run. They go down 2-0, and they ended up losing anyway, but it sort of gave them life in the series. So I think your point is well taken there. The running game, I know all the stolen bases, even being down all the runs in that wild card game, really, they just went wild, and I realized Lester wasn't throwing and Norris was behind the plate. But how do you characterize their speed? I mean, is it just blinding speed? They steal whenever they have a chance. Is it Maury Wills again? Is it Vince Coleman? How do you characterize the speed on this team?
Well, their two best speed guys were the guys that were, you know, Gerard Dyson, and then down the stretch with Terrence Cora, who was called up from Double-A and just ran like crazy, you know, in September for them as they got themselves in position to have the home field. So, you know, Dyson does not start. He comes in late for defense. Gordon is a good base stealer. Kane is a good base stealer. Alcides Escobar is a very good base stealer. I don't think they've got blinding speed. I think they just got confidence. I think they get themselves maximum leads. I think they get themselves good jumps. And I think they look at those opportunities and like in the game with John Lester. I mean, Marty, John Lester has not thrown a first base since June of last year. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, yes, he's quick to the plate to a certain extent, but if he's going home, if you can still time a quick move and know that his motion is starting toward the plate, you have an advantage because the numbers simply point out that he never, ever threw to first base. And I know he had some time, you know, late in the year with the A's where he made a big point about talking about John Lester working on his pickoff move to first base on his own. That might have just been a smokescreen because it turns out he still never used it. And I think you have to have that threat of at least the calling card over to first base in order to keep that runner not having his momentum, his body leaning more towards second base. You want him, in a perfect world, you want him leaning back toward first base, or at the very least have his body in a balanced position and not in a spot where he's really getting ready to take off towards second base. And I think Bumgarner can do that much better than John Lester, because the reality is, the word was out. Everybody knew. And the Royals did an outstanding job. I know you saw Louis Medina and some of the other Royal scouts that were on the Giants down the stretch after they left the A's. Those guys are extremely prepared. Spent a lot of time looking at all different angles of every single game and having a lot of great conversation with those guys on how they felt like their club could attack. And that was something they have preyed upon with the A's, and it paid off.
Boy, great report, Vinny. Very good. Last thought, and I know you're a busy man today on this family Sunday down in Arizona, which you're enjoying the warm weather. Defense.
And, yeah, well, hey, but you know, Marty, I can talk to you all the time. I enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, come on, we've done this for years. Defense. And, you know, they made the joke on Twitter today, one of the guys, you know, two-thirds of the world is water, the other third's covered by Lorenzo Cain, you know, that kind of thing. How good is the defense, and especially the infield defense? How good is the infield defense?
Very good. You know, and I think that was the difference for the A's. As much as Jed Lowrie, you know, analytically or statistically may have improved last year, you know, having a shortstop with range makes all the difference in the world, and the A's just didn't have that. And I thought that really affected them in the wild card game, and it affected them as early as the first inning on the very first play. The first ground ball hit by Escobar was a ground ball that I think Brandon Crawford makes the play on. I think Alcides Escobar makes the play on himself on that play. Jed Lowrie didn't make it, and the A's had a 2-0 lead. Instead of holding on to the momentum and trying to step on the throats of you, if you will, of the Royals at that point, they didn't do that. They got one run back, and I think at that stage they felt like, you know what, we got a game here. Even though they fell behind again and Ventura came in relief and Brandon Moss had the big home run, the A's had the 4-run lead, they still, for whatever reason, felt like their small ball was going to be good enough in a ballpark that, you know, they're not going to hit a lot of home runs. So their defense is outstanding. I think their outfield defense with Gordon left and Kane in center and and Aoki in right field is as good as any in the American League. They've got good arms. Alex Gordon is aggressive coming to the baseball. He charges ground balls. He has an accurate arm. Aoki plays maybe the deepest right field of anybody in the American League, but he charges the ball very aggressively coming to the ball, so that helps him out in that regard. Lorenzo Cain has great range and an above-average arm in center field, so that's something you like. Escobar, you know, we talk about the Royals, Marty, and, you know, all the deals that they've made. They, you know, they acquired James Shields, and they acquired Wade Davis, who they tried as a starter as well, like Tampa Bay did. Didn't work out, and he found his niche in the bullpen as an eighth-inning power arm, and that's worked out so well for them. But they also, you know, made the deal with Zach Greinke, which got them guys like Alcides Escobar, you know, an everyday, you know, top shortstop. This guy is a good player. He can go get the ball, you know, deep in the hole. He can go up the middle. I like Perez. He's the best catcher, best catch and throw guy in the American League. He really shuts down the game. He blocks the ball extremely well. He's a huge target back there at 6'3", 6'4". And for a young guy in just his second full season, a two-time All-Star, he's in control. I mean, he's out there. He's talking to James Shields. He's talking to Ventura. He's talking to Vargas. He's talking to Guthrie. I mean, he's out there. He's running things. Moustakas has always been a plus defender. Eric Hosmer made his major league debut against the A's, and we saw in that very first game. He's a gold glover that can do that. Three gold gloves, of course, with Gordon in the left. It's a very, very good defense. And they've got the confidence that six innings is all they need out of their starting pitcher, because that has worked so well for them time and time and time again, Marty, when you go to Pereira, then you go to Davis, and you go to Holland. Even though Holland at times has been a little bit of a roller coaster, he's still extremely good.
Boy, it's going to be fun. You got me going. Boy, this you got me. This is going. No, this
you
is
don't gonna, need me to get you going, Marty.
This is fun. No, another thought. Danny Duffy, is he healthy? I mean, the lefty relievers, we saw with Choate, we saw with the Washington team, with Gonzalez. You need lefties against the Giants. Is Danny Duffy okay?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, this kid down the stretch, until he had that issue with his arm, was having a very good September, bouncing back from the arm problems earlier in the year. You know, recovered from Tommy John surgery. He's he's a SLO kid. He always, when he came up and pitched against the A's, everybody from San Luis Obispo seemed to come up and watch the games. He, at that time, he had six big league wins, and three of them were against the A's. I've seen plenty of Danny Duffy when he's good, and he's been nothing but good against the A's. And I think if he was healthy, they would have had an opportunity maybe to use him a little bit more. I don't think he can be – he's not a guy that you can use – if you use him in the bullpen in game one, for whatever reason, get it at a batter or two or go an inning, you're not going to see him again until at least game three. I mean, okay, he's not the kind of guy that's going to bounce back. So, I mean, that I think that's a factor. But they don't worry about that,
yeah,
because Herrera gets righties and lefties out. Davis gets righties and lefties out. Holland gets righties and lefties out. And they keep the ball in the park, Marty. I know the Giants aren't that much of a home run team, but still, you got to string some hits together against them to make something happen. And that's has been very difficult to do. I think it's going to be a fun series. But, again, I still go back to game two. And I've said this before, Marty, and you may have said it as well. For me, it's Madison Bumgarner against James Shields. Mm. It's not big game James. There's no big in James Shields for me. He's got a losing record and a high ERA in the postseason. Now, not to say he's not a very good pitcher, because he is.
Yeah.
It's not to say he can't dial it up, because he can. But he hasn't done it consistently on the big stage since 2008. So that moniker, I think, if he wants to hold on to that moniker and cash in on that moniker as a free agent this offseason, it has to happen in game one. Otherwise, he's still, you know, an above-average pitcher, but he's not in the same category as some of the other free agents that are available on the market. So for me, it's just James Shields. And Bumgarner has been so tough in the postseason. And with a lot of confidence, it will be a lot of fun. And, Bruce Bochy gets the edge with the managers. I love that Ned Yost has laid it all out there. He's basically said, I've made mistakes. I'm learning from my mistakes. I'm not perfect. I try to put too much pressure on the players from my position instead of just letting them play. I really enjoy hearing him really accept who Ned Yost is. And I'm hoping, because he had talked about this at the end of the season, and I don't know if it played out in any of the series so far. He said that Bobby Cox, who's his mentor with the Braves, is going to come to games and watch him manage. Well, here comes the World Series, and I'm hoping that Bobby Cox is nearby to enjoy this for a guy that meant a whole lot to him.
Yeah, Bobby Cox would have to put the uniform on to help him for Ned Yost. I'll tell you that. All right. Would you be surprised if Kansas City won the series?
No. No, not at all. I mean, this is not, because I work on the other side of the band.
I know.
I'm not trying to knock the
Giants. I'm not asking you to make a pick.
I don't think there's a decide. If there's an advantage, it's experience and the manager with the Giants. No question about that. With the Royals, I think their bullpen is better. I think their mojo, for whatever reason, and this team of destiny kind of thing, I think right now it's hard to bet against that because they've done it 8 consecutive games. And not just beating the A's at home, but they beat the Angels, best record in the league, swept them. They beat the Orioles, who are a home run hitting team at a home run hitting ballpark. And they hit some home runs in that ballpark, and they withstood the ones that the Orioles hit in that series as well and swept that series also. So I think, I think it's going to be fun to watch.
All right. Hey, Vinny, thank you. Terrific report, honestly. Very good. And we'll see what it brings. It'll be fun to see this matchup of two, believe it or not, wild card teams. And you break it down. They're two very, very, very good baseball teams that deserve to be where they are right now. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So I appreciate it. And,
Every game is its own chapter, right, Marcus?
Yeah. Oh, every game is its own season. Every game is a story. Yeah. Every game is a story. And every day we read another chapter. You remember
all
well.
All right, Marty. Good talking to you.
All right. Say hello to the family. Thanks, Vinny. All right. That is Vince Catronio, play-by-play voice of the A's. Great report. That's one tonight when we do a replay. Don't miss that one because that'll get you ready for what is coming up to you. Great report from Vince. Really good report from him. All right, 808 KMBR, we got plenty of time. We'll take your calls, as I say, and we'll look at another position matchup. Maybe we'll look at second base. According to MLB, first base was even between Hosmer and Belt. We'll take a look at second and short when we come back right here in the Sports Leader.